Support comes from Austin Water's WaterWise Landscape and Rainscape programs for customers replacing water-thirsty lawns with drought-tolerant native plants. Applications and program information at austinwater.org.
From KUT and KUTX Studios.
Hey there, you're listening to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that formed and transformed them. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and I've got a Friday treat for you because this week you get an extra episode of This Song. This one is featuring Clarence Greenwood, known by a stage name Citizen Cope. But before we get started, I want to let you know that this weekend at KUTX, the radio station where we make this podcast, well, we're celebrating Willie Nelson's 86th birthday by playing his music all weekend long. You can find us at 98.9 on the radio dial here in Austin, Texas, or you can listen on KUTX.org, or you can listen from our mobile app. And I feel like Citizen Cope would totally approve of a Willie weekend. I got to talk to Citizen Cope when he came to town a couple of weeks ago to play a show at ACL Live. He was here supporting the release of his latest record, Heroin and Helicopters. He got the idea for that title from some advice that Carlos Santana laid on him once at a show. He told him to stay away from the two H's, the two H's being heroin and helicopters. He told him they don't mix well with musicians, which is like solid advice. And the new record, it was 7 years in the making, and it's filled with the kind of songs that only Citizen Cope could write. These like deeply melodic songs backed up by acoustic guitars and serious hip-hop influenced beats. And songs that explore this current moment from like a very empathetic point of view. We recorded this episode live at Waterloo Records the day after his show. Waterloo Records is an independent record store here in Austin that's been around for over three decades. They still have the coolest stuff. And we here in Austin, we love them very much. And Citizen Cope and I, we talked about his early experiences in Texas, how he reconciled with his estranged father, his own experiences as a parent. And we started our conversation by talking about the wide range of music that's influenced him over the years.
I always say that there's like an emotional connection to music. And so people have an emotional connection to it, kind of also related to a time period. And those records are always important. I've had different musical experiences. You know, the first, when I was really, really young, was the Jackson 5 record that came out. Because I had a weird situation, because I was from the East Coast, and we listened mostly to go-go music. So there was a record called Paint the White House Black that had Chuck Brown on it and a bunch of Trouble Funk and a bunch of different go-go bands. What you gonna do? Let's get small. Do you wanna get down? Let's get small. Now what you gonna do? Let's get small. Do you wanna get up, y'all? Let's get small. Now what you gonna do? And when I came down, I went to school at Texas Tech for a year, and all the Texas guys listened to West Coast stuff and East Coast stuff. And I loved the Beatles records, you know, and Randy Newman, Good Old Boys was a big record for me. I loved you the first time I saw you, and I always will love you, Marie. I think people put music into something of a competition or a genre when really people don't listen to music like that, I don't think. I think a good song is a good song. And there's energy that can come from all different types of music, whether it's old school jazz, Miles Davis and Coltrane, to Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings, and even to certain pop stuff that you think is disposable. There's energies to that that make that real.
So what do you think it was about you when you were growing up that allowed you to be open to all those influences?
My stepfather and mother had a pretty big record collection. So I was listening, you know, they were rocking a Dolly Parton at the same time as Sam Cooke. And there was times when I was really specific to what I listened to. So don't get me wrong. Like I went through the whole classic rock stage and Neil Young. And you know, The Doors and Jimi Hendrix and the Rolling Stones, and then the hip hop thing came along, and I went pretty heavy into that and like 90s R&B and stuff like that, because I was in D.C. I was raised in D.C. and so I was hearing a lot of it. And then, like I said, when I went to Texas, a friend of mine played Too Short record, and I thought it was stupid at first. And then I was just listening to it. I was like, this is, you know, then it became something I really loved. Life is Too Short.
I remember how it all began. I used to sing dirty raps to my East Side fans back then. I knew you couldn't stop this rap. No MC could rock like that. In the new style came, the bass got deeper.
Your music, I feel like, does the thing that you do as a listener, where right. Your music doesn't really... you don't really seem to have any kind of boundaries around genre.
Yeah.
I mean, you're very melodic. You have a lot of hip-hop elements. There's one song, the Hours on End song on the new record, Heroin and Helicopters. I was like, if you had put this in the hands of especially the chorus of like a 70s country guy, I would have totally totally bought it.
Oh, I don't want a battle. I want to lay you down.
No, I spent every summer in Vernon, Texas. So I was, my father, my natural father side of the family lived there. And he kind of wasn't part of my life, but I always stayed with the people that raised him every summer. So I spent like most of the summer, every summer in a small town of Texas.
Whoa, I actually had no idea that you had such a Texas connection. Do you still feel like a connection when you come here?
Yeah, I mean, we just actually stopped in Vernon just to because the drive was too long, and it's emotional because I don't have family there anymore. So it can be it's a point where a place you love so much as a child, but you don't understand what it was really just the family that was around there. And I realized there was a lot of darkness that came up in West Texas, and there was darkness in D.C., and there was light in West Texas, and there was light in D.C.
And you said that your father's family is from West Texas?
Yeah.
And I read somewhere, and I think I'm right about this, that prior to recording this latest record, Heroin and Helicopters, you kind of reconciled with your dad.
Yeah, I hadn't. He passed away a few years ago, and he had tried to come to some shows, just show up kind of thing. It was just like it wasn't the right venue for that discussion yet, because we'd been estranged most of my life. What was amazing was that when I talked to him, I just realized that he was a flawed human like us all, and it wasn't this person that I had fear of. You know, because when I was young, I kind of feared my father. So I just kind of felt sorry for him because he was on his last days and he didn't have any relationship with any of his children. I sat down with him and I learned a lot about a lot of different things that happened. My great aunt was, she had bad arthritis and stuff like that. And they didn't have any children. So they raised my father. And my father himself was kind of abandoned by his parents and given to them. So that kind of gave me the perspective of where he was, you know, and is a man that I had to have empathy for that.
Well, and also it sounds like it was, you know, it's one of those things about becoming an adult and becoming a parent. Become a parent where you just somehow your empathy starts to expand. And the black and white ways that you see people kind of go away. And I really feel that on this new record. I mean, I feel like this record, there's so much about standing in other people's shoes and seeing, you know, the gifts that other people have to give.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
And the baseball rolls slowly off the pitcher's mound. As I stood in the batter's box once they struck me out.
So I felt like, let me put some new energy and some new oxygen into this whole catalog. And you know, I feel like I really did that with this record.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's just these songs on this record. I don't know if you guys feel the same. Like, they play and I'm like crying no matter where I am. I was on the bus this morning listening to it going, I'm not going to weep and cry. But it really does feel like a very emotional record. And you took a long time between records to make it. I guess I have two questions. Why was it such a long time? And kind of what made you realize that it was time to start making music again or putting it out in that way?
Well, for one, I never wanted to dilute anything I'd done before by just putting out a record. It's like always really important because I know that there's people out there that do have that connection and expect something really great. And I don't want to fall short on that. I don't want to. But it didn't, the time just kind of went, I don't know why it took 7 years, but it just did.
I have a theory, actually. Do you want to hear my theory? You had a kid.
I had a child.
I have two kids. I don't know how, but my oldest kid is 10 years old. Yeah. And it's like, what is happening to time?
Yeah, it just goes.
It just all of a sudden, it's like... Yeah, so, I mean, that might be part of it.
That was definitely part of it, and we were having, you know, I was having some personal struggles going on during that time, and I just needed to get to a point where I felt like I was inspired.
So there's a couple songs on this record that make me tear up, and one is On My Love, is that the name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that about your kid? Is that a song to your kid? Okay, good. Yeah. I was like, man, I'm really misinterpreting this song if it's not about a kid. No. I just, like, I feel that song in such a deep way. Like, I want to play it for my kids and be like, if you were wondering how I felt about you.
They'll tell you that life is short. Love truly endures. And I'll tell you to shine your light on what truly touches your soul.
I didn't intentionally set out to write a song about her. It just happened.
You know,
so, and then afterwards, it's like, okay, this makes sense.
It's a different kind of love. It's such a different experience of love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I say, you know, we throw around that word love a lot. And so I think there's ownership and love, and there's all these other things that are not so positive attached to it, when really in its purest form, it's the most powerful thing. In the river, I say, you know, they'll say it's love when it's not. And that's, I just feel like we use that word, you know, not just on a relationship level, but in on a humanity level too much.
They'll say it's love when it's not. They'll send you to war and you return in a pine box.
And this is The River from Citizen Cope's new record Heroin and Helicopters. He's on tour right now, and you can find a link to his tour dates, plus a link to the new record on the show notes page for this episode at KUTX.org. He's got a lot of cool packages available to people, like including one where you can live Skype with him. And as always, we'll have a Spotify playlist on the show notes page where you can hear all the songs we referenced in this podcast all the way through. And that's it. You have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced by Art Levy and me, Elizabeth McQueen. Simone Puglia edited this episode and did a great job. High five, Simone! Thanks to our interns, Felix Kimbrell and Emily Wilson, for all their help with this podcast. And thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb and Todd Callahan for all they do for this podcast. And yes, it's true. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own Hard Proof. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.